I may be a little premature in my preaching this year, but we're just going to have a Christmas month. Praise God. A Christmas month. Isn't that great? Christmas is every day. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2, third book of the Gospels. Glad to have all the visitors among us today. And I know the Word of God is going to bless you today. Luke chapter 2, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things in her heart, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, and glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. I wonder if you could pray and ask the Lord to move away the fog this morning and let us see what He wants us to see today. Jesus, move away all the clouds, all the fog, anything that would distract us this Christmas season, God. Let us see what it's all about. Let us see You this morning, Lord. Above all else, let us also see our need for You today. We ask this in Your precious name and for Your wonderful glory, we ask it. Let it fill this place to overflowing with Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. You may be seated. I pose to you a question today, along with our text, a question that simply says this. How far is it to Christmas? How far is it to Christmas? We're entering a very wonderful time of year. The time of joy, the time of peace, the time of goodwill. You can almost feel the wonder in the air. If you hang around children very much, you can feel the wonder in the air. A lot of times around adults, it takes a whole lot longer for it to set in, a week before Christmas, and then it begins to set in, and you really begin to realize what it's all about. But for children, it happens a lot earlier because they still have the wonder. You can feel it in the air. You can feel the wonder in the air. You begin to see the trees and lights as they start to come on, the fireworks as they start to explode, and the decorations that start to go up. Merry Christmas becomes the greeting upon every lips. It hasn't become that yet, but a week or so before Christmas, you will greet people not with hello, but you will greet them with Merry Christmas. And that's a wonderful time of year when that thing starts to happen. And then you begin to ask yourself, well, just how close is Christmas? Just how far is it to Christmas? When the angels in Luke chapter 2 had left the shepherds that were abiding in the fields with their flocks, what did the shepherds do? What was their first course of action? I read in the verses following that they said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Christmas for the shepherds was not very far away. Maybe a hop, skip, and a jump across the field, and they were there at Christmas. But for the wise men, some miles and miles and miles away to the east, Christmas was a long way away.
For them, Christmas was a long journey that had to be taken for them to get to Christmas. I want to carry you back just a little bit further than even that today. I want you to take a look at the beginning, Adam and Eve there in the garden. After they fell, you could tell that they were a long way away from Christmas. They were a long way away from God. There was a time when they were not far away. There was a time when they would walk with God in the cool of the day and commune with Him. But sin came, disobedience came, transgression came, and with it came the separation from the living God. The devil had triumphed temporarily. He seemed to have thrown a monkey wrench in God's plan. He seemed to have thwarted the plans and purposes of God. This was a desperate situation. This was a devilish situation that demanded a divine solution. From God's viewpoint, the planet Earth was no longer a peaceful paradise in which human beings could live. Now, from God's viewpoint, it was a doomed spaceship, the planet Earth was, headed for destined destruction, ultimate destruction. The inhabitants that God had created, though they had the capacity to communicate with God, they would rather turn to their own devices and decide their own awful destinies. You can look at this and you can draw as ugly a picture as you want to draw it today. I'm not going to draw it very ugly, but it was an ugly picture. It was a dreadful picture. Can you imagine being without hope? Can you imagine being without God after being with God for so many days and weeks and months? I don't know how long, but they had walked with Him every day. And then there came a day when they were separated by sin. Can you imagine what they felt? God was grieved, and still does grieve, and man, no doubt, was grieved because of his plight. But God was more grieved than man was because he had become separated from his loved creation. In fact, there would be times that God that loved man, the God that made man, that he would even regret at times, if you read the Bible in the Old Testament, that he even regretted that he had ever made man. The situation was so grave. The circumstances had become so bad that God would even say, I wish I had not even created man because they are doing things to themselves. Sin is corrupting them and perverting them, and he would regret that he had even made man. The pain that man brought God far outweighed the pleasure that man brought him. But in spite of all the pain, in spite of all the suffering that man caused God, God still loved man. And God, true to His gracious character, He formulated a plan. He said, I've got a plan that I'm going to rescue wayward man. I'm going to redeem lost man. I'm going to get them out of their predicament they got themselves into. Drastic situations always call for divine solutions. This was one of them. And we read that God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. Man was a long way from God. He was a long way away from Christmas. Man had turned to his own devices. Man had turned to his own thinking. Man had turned to his own direction. The attitude that man demonstrated was clearly that of not really caring. In a fit of jealous rage, we find Cain killing his own blood brother and shedding blood there. And you know what Cain told God when God confronted him with it? He said simply this, am I my brother's keeper? With that one sentence, man laid bare his motives. It was nothing but selfishness, nothing but destructiveness, nothing but divisive character of human conduct. Mankind simply did not care, and man couldn't care less. Man was a long way from Christ. Long way away. And you go through the Bible, all through the Old Testament, and see all the bad. You see, that's the only thing about God. He's not going to just paint you a pretty picture. He's going to give you the black and the white. He's going to give you the dirt and the clean. He's going to just show it to you all. And if you read the Bible any at all, even through the book of Genesis, you read so much of bad that's in there. You can wonder how God can even really even care anymore. Then you just don't wipe the whole situation out. But God loved man. Even though man was so far away. Even so, it was so long until Christmas time. If you haven't found out yet, life consists of a journey. You're not where you were 10 years ago. You're not where you were 50 years ago. Life is a journey. Today, we're all headed somewhere. We're all on a course somewhere. Some of you are getting closer to God, but sad to say, there are those here today that's moving away from God. We're all on a journey today going somewhere. Some today are choosing to do good, but there are others today choosing to do evil. There are those today that would choose the light of Jesus Christ, but there are those among us and in our world today that are choosing darkness. How far is it for you to Christmas today is my question. Finding God always has a journey involved in it, whether it be an angel's voice that beckons you as it did to the shepherds to come to Bethlehem and see the Christ child, or whether it's a supernatural star that God puts in the heavens to call the men from the east to where Christ is, or whether it is for most of us that voice deep down inside of every one of us that cries out to God, that says, I want God, I want to know my Maker, whatever the voice is that you hear today, before Christ, before Christmas, there was that chasm, there was that gulf that separated man from God, and God called man. Man could go only so far and no further. Man could not make the way himself. Isaiah 59:16 says, plain words, God said he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Wherefore his own arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. No one could be found. No one in all the earth could be found to make up that divide that has separated man from God. No one could be found to come and make a bridge, to build a bridge back from man to God. So what did God do? You read it. He saw there was no man. He wondered there was no intercessors. In other words, there's no way. Do I give them up? Do I just forget it? Forgive them? And what do I do? Let them just stay and die in their sins? That was not God's plan. God had a plan. Even though there was no man, even though there was no intercessor, even though there was no angel that could be able to build a bridge, God said his own arm brought salvation unto him. For 4,000 years in the Old Testament, mankind looked for him. They looked for Christmas. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Enoch walked with God and was one of the few that made it and found eternity. Noah hammered for years on the ark and was justified by the faith of obedience. Joseph sought rest for his bones in Canaan land, even though his home was down in Egypt. Joseph and the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho and found obedience brought earth-shaking victory. For 4,000 years, you find man after man after man seeking, desiring, walking, trying to get close to God, trying to follow his plan, trying to make it to that ultimate time when God would make a way. Sometimes today, I think you do, and I do, fail to understand what Christmas is really all about. I think we fail and come way short of understanding how far God went to reach down to where we were. I think that we just shirk it away and we'll get through December 25th and forget it for a year. But I've come here to remind you how far God came to get to you, how far God came to reach fallen man. He came a long, long, long way. That song in your songbook, page 74, I believe it is, here are the words. It says, down from his glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. What condescension brings us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight, God, gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Without reluctance, flesh and blood is substance, he took the form of man and revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary, and now I know that thou art the great I am. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior, and all the fullness of God dwelleth in him. That's how far God came. The God of heaven came further than any one of us in this room could even imagine today. He came to make a way. He came to save. He came to give us Christmas. More than a holiday. More than a story.
more than a Santa Claus. But this was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. How far is it to Christmas? It used to be a long way. It used to be way out of reach. But now, I want you to know today that Christmas is not very far away. And when I say that, I don't mean December 25th. I don't mean just a day set aside when we're going to give gifts and do all that. But the Christ of Christmas is not very far from anyone in this room. But the fact remains today, even though it's not far, even though He's come close, even though He's come near, the fact remains that there's always a trip involved when one comes to God. There's always that commitment. There's always that step of faith that one has got to make. It was not enough for the shepherds to know the angel had given them the message. They had to make a little trek down to Bethlehem to see that young child. It was not enough for the wise men of the East to know that a king had been born and there was a star there. They had to make that journey. But when both of those shepherds and those wise men made that journey, their reward was so great. But God has made it so easy for you today. He has become so accessible for you today. I want you today, first of all, in this message, is to see how accessible the Savior is. I want us today, if you can, in the closing points of this message, to somehow make a trip back in time. Make a trip back in our minds. And I want each one of us to stand by that manger. And I want us to notice some things today. A manger in a stable on the outskirts of a city of Bethlehem. Some in our world, some in this church. You're poor this morning. You're poor. Literally. You don't have much money when I say poor. But for you, poor. If you're poor, those in the world poor. But you should bring and be glad, and your heart should be full of joy. Here's why. May not have a big Christmas, maybe slim. Here's why you should be full of joy and peace and gladness. It's because your Lord was as you are. Your Lord was as you are. He was poor. He was poor as anyone in this room today. Anyone in this world. He chose. Some of us are somehow born and we don't get all the right connections and we end up that way. But He chose to be poor. You may not have fancy houses today. You may not have beautiful furnishings today. But I want you to make a trip, as we have today, and stand by that manger, look in that stable. He did not move from that stable and manger up to a palace or up to a mansion. But you know where He moved from there? He moved to an old carpenter shop up in Nazareth. And may I remind you, today it was to the poor. It was to the humble. It was to those shepherds abiding in the fields that night, keeping watch over their flocks. It was to these. It was to poor shepherds, not kings, not priests, not preachers, but it was to the poor shepherds out there that the heavens made known their glory that night, and they heard the first Christmas carol that night. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The poor were the first ones to see Christmas. Poor people. People didn't have any money. They couldn't give and help Joseph and Mary. But they were the first ones to experience Christmas and the Christ of Christmas. But to the mangers, seeing comes others. Maybe not really to a manger, but to the same set of circumstances. From the East there came wise men who were rich. Who were rich. They had money. They were rich, and the rich should come to Christ with their gifts. They should come willing and humble gifts, cheerfully giving the first thing they gave, as all of us should give to Christ. They gave themselves. They gave themselves. You today may be able to give a bunch of money, but God loves and blesses you for giving your money. But you know what God really wants today? He wants you. He right prizes you today. You may be the richest of the rich today, but God wants you first of all. And that's what those wise men gave. They gave themselves. They gave the gold of worthy lives. They gave the frankincense of holy worship. And they gave the myrrh of consecrated sorrow. Yes, they could have kept what they had. Yes, they could have kept it in the family
and pastor to their children, but they gave, and what they give lives on to today. And the thing that is true today, and the thing I see from this today, the real spirit of Christmas is giving. If you give one up to the least of these brethren, you give it to Him. You give it to Him. Christmas is not just for the poor. It's for the rich as well. But it's also for others today. Everyone, everywhere should come today and celebrate Christmas, for Christmas is Christ. But not only the poor came and the rich came, but around this manger, others can come. You see, those who are sorrowful. It may be hard for you to see it today. It may be hard to imagine it, that the one that was laying in that manger was also, as Isaiah said, was going to become a man of sorrow. He was also going to be one to become acquainted with grief. I don't know today what you brought in this room. Some of you brought a lot of sorrow with you today. You may be lonely today. You may be suffering in your body. You may be anxious in your mind. You may be that sorrow that's been inflicted upon you by others, by words, by deeds, by things done to you. But allow me to make known unto you today that Jesus Christ bore it all, even to the cross. And as I look and imagine in my mind a little baby in that manger today, that tender young child, the shadow of the cross falls even across that cradle there. The crimson of the sunset flushes even the golden dawn of His life. For you today, to the sorrowful, He says, come. I know where you're at. Jesus Christ says, come. Jesus Christ, yes, He knows the forsaken feeling. Yes, He knows the burden. He bore a whole lot in the Garden of Gethsemane. But allow me to tell you today that this God, this Christ, is not very far away from any one of you in this room. Yes, it's true, we're 21 days away from Christmas, but Christ, the Christ of Christmas, is here, and He's not very far away. How far is it to Christmas? Not very far. To all those who are sinners came the message. The shepherds, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. While we see today a God who hates sin, He hates sin. As you look in this manger today, may you be able to see with me not only a God that hates sin, but as you look at that baby in that manger, see that there is a God that loves the sinner. A God that loves the sinner. A God that says, let the lepers come. A God that says, let the outcast come. A God that says, let the mourners with their tear-stained cheeks come. A God that says, let the sinners with their broken lives and hearts come. A God that says to the poor with their struggling lives to come. A God that says to the rich with their many temptations to come. May all today, whatever need there be, come to where Christ is, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. For 1,000 years God was out of reach. They couldn't reach Him. They would try. They would try to be good. They would try to be religious, but there was still that wall there. There was still that gulf there. No man could get to God. But 2,000 years ago, the God of heaven, the Creator of the ends of the earth, God came near. We who couldn't reach Him reached down here where we could reach Him. The baby that overlooked the universe, the rags that were keeping Him warm, were the robes of eternity. His golden throne room had been abandoned in favor of a dirty, stinking stable, and the worshiping angels had been replaced with those kind shepherds that came there. Meanwhile, outside the stable, meanwhile, on the streets of Bethlehem and in the streets of Jerusalem and around the world, they didn't know Christmas would even come. They didn't know it came. They were so close, that yet they were so far away. The innkeeper would never have believed in a million years that he had just sent God into the cold. He would never have believed that if anybody told him. My mind still, and that, pardon me if I be honest today, I'm having more trouble with it every day. It's hard for me to imagine that the God of heaven, really came. That He really cared that much for me. That He really cared that much for you today. That He came down here. That He came near. Why? Why, Lord? Why don't all this? Why are we really that important to you? Is man really that important to you? Why are you doing it, God? If I could answer that question today, if there would be an answer I would give you today, He came to tell you and I who live or ever will live, He came to tell us one thing. Three words. He came to that manger. He came to that cross. He was there in that tomb. He come out of that tomb for one purpose. That is to tell you and I love you. For God so loved, He gave. That's what Christmas is all about. A God who loves you. I hope the saints of God can realize it today. I hope the visitors can realize it today. That Christmas is not very far from you. Christmas is Christ. Christmas is Christ. And the one furthest away this morning is no further than 25 steps down here to meet Jesus Christ. You don't walk this aisle to join this church. That won't get you anywhere. But I do tell you, you can walk this aisle and join yourself to Jesus Christ. Christmas is not very far away. In fact, if you'll allow me to tell you this morning, Christmas is here. Christmas is here. I wonder if you could bow your heads with me. Lord, we're thankful that You came. We're thankful that You loved us so very much that You gave all. You left the throne. You left worshiping angels. And You became flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, we beheld. We beheld Your grace, full of grace and truth. We beheld all of that. I pray this morning that there would be those in this room that would see, maybe backslider this morning, maybe a lukewarm saint, maybe a sinner, maybe a saint, whoever, that we could see that You're not very far from any one of us. Christmas is here, and Christmas is Christ. As we stand together, as we continue to bow our heads, if there's someone this morning that would like to know Jesus, I invite you to walk these aisles. You're not very far away from Christmas. You're not very far away from Christ. You got sorrows today? Come meet the man of sorrows. You got grief in your soul and heart? I introduce you to one who's acquainted with grief. Need somebody that understands, and nobody else seems to. Jesus understands. As we blow away the fog and the clouds, commercialism, and see what it's all about. A God that so loved that He gave that we could have life. As we sing, if somebody wants to come and meet Jesus, somebody wants to come, lift your hands to heaven. You want to come and lift your hands to heaven? Meet Jesus Christ. Not very far away.